The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
I'm joined by a woman who has done the seemingly impossible, because there are two basic rules, as I understand it, for novelists. The first is that it's highly unlikely that if you publish your first book after the age of about 30, 35, that it will be a success. And it's highly unlikely that you will have had a career up until that point and then swap careers and become a novelist. She has done both. Her collection of short stories got huge critical review and big sales. Her latest novel, which is Breakdown, is receiving rave reviews from the likes of Graham Norton, and we are told that sales are very impressive. Cathy Sweeney, good morning.
Good morning, and thank you very much for having me.
You had an honest-to-God, proper job, stable career, and decided, feck it, I'll do the insane and become a novelist.
I did indeed have a teaching career for many years. I had studied English in university and taught English. So I suppose all of that immersion in English and being at the, you know, kind of coalface of the classroom, there was a lot built up in me by the time I came to write the short stories and then came to write the novel Breakdown.
Now, had you been busily beavering away across that period, is there an attic full of unpublished works?
Not as such, but there was a lot of reading and thinking. And then in my late 30s, when I started writing, I did get hooked very, very quickly. And I did set aside the time. And for a long time, it was complementary with teaching until, of course, you know, one thing takes over from another. But I think all of the experience of being in schools, in the public, you know, in that real world, and I taught in many different settings, you get a rich store of what's going on in the world. And you have a lot of observations, and all of that fed into Breakdown.
Well, to some extent, that's sort of the Roddy Doyle approach, wasn't it? Wasn't he the same, that he had been a school teacher for and farmed a lot of that experience for the works?
I think so. I think there's something about schools, especially if you teach in different settings, that, you know, you really are actually going to see societal change or what's going on with people, real lives. You are stuck right into that in teaching. So there was a great store of knowledge, observation, as well as the imagination and the kind of background with English that all filtered into this novel.
Is it difficult to keep a love of English while teaching it to a test? Because to some extent, you have to get people through their Leaving Cert, and that means let us discuss of light and shade in the works of X. It doesn't exactly sound like the context where you get people inspired, say, have a read of this, it's mighty.
Not for me. I think if you have a passion that you're not working at, it's just intrinsic to you, then it's impossible not to spill that out into the classroom and into the students you teach. And also, I ran a library in the last few years of my teaching career. So anyone who I've ever taught will know that, you know, but my thing was like read, read, read.
Read, read, read what? What did you recommend to the students?
Oh, anything. I'm a huge believer in what there's a book for everyone, and or a magazine or a football magazine. I don't really mind what it is. Just take yourself into that interior world where you're having that unique conversation. And I think in many ways, when I came on to write Breakdown, I was thinking of the fact that I had actually a huge experience of how people read and what they want to read, and the time pressures genuinely in the world now, and I wanted it to read like a report from experience and not just a very much kind of like novel. I wanted them to feel immersed from the first page.
And of course, there's obvious parallels between your own experience and Breakdown, given that Breakdown hinges around a woman who has decided she is going to take the fork in the road, effectively go the way less travelled.
Yes, in some ways, although hers is like one moment in time. She turns left instead of right. She thinks she's just taking some time out for herself, and there's a great kind of reckoning and unravelling, and one thing leads to another, and she literally never comes back. But I did not have that experience.
Oh, really? You're holding the door open to returning to teaching, are you?
Not so much. It's in many ways, the writing and teaching were so complementary for so long that by the time you've slipped out of one life and into another, you didn't really notice it happening.
Did you have any trepidation about it? Because, I mean, as I said to you earlier on, there is that sense that if later in life people publish works, they tend to be self-published and self-indulgent. This obviously very much not. But you must have been aware of that. And did it cause you to say, maybe the ship has sailed?
I didn't even think about it, Anton. I wrote the book because I felt I had to write it. I got an image of it. and I just wanted to do it. And I never really thought beyond that. It was the same. I was writing short stories for 10 years, sort of devoting Saturdays or holidays to writing. And it's something that possessed me, obsessed me. And I can't imagine not doing it now. It becomes a way of life. It becomes a way of seeing the world.
How did you handle the logistics and mechanics of getting a deal? Because we are told that all authors have to have the big pile of rejection slips before the first novel is accepted.
I think it's maybe different for someone who comes up through short stories and magazines. I had been publishing short stories for many years in The Stinging Fly, The Dublin Review. And ultimately, when it came to publish the short story collection Modern Times, it was already made. And the rest sort of happened then. So for me, writing comes first and publishing is something else. And I am absolutely thrilled to publish Breakdown, but I would have written it anyway, even without a deal.
Does that mean that there are follow-ups already in?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Because there are time lapses between one work and another. So I have been working away on another project that I started in 2014. There's a huge germination period, especially for a book like Breakdown, where you have a lot of issues to do with society, motherhood, marriage, women, the environment, money. I mean, I could go on and on. So you're storing up this huge investigation of your world, and then you're distilling that down into this character's experience in an intensified way.
And a 10-year germination, is it a Jeffrey Archer germination where you're on draft 17, or is it a germination that happens entirely in the head and you've yet to put a hand on a keyboard?
Well, I can't imagine myself in the same sentence as Jeffrey Archer for some reason. So it's, I think, a mental journey. I think it's a matter of perception, of hyper-observation, of like notes in journals. And it's, you know, you're just thinking and thinking. It took.
But you'll have 10 years of work done before you type chapter one.
Yes. Definitely. I mean, to get into this woman's head, you have somebody who, yes, there is often an overlap between a narrator and an author. At the same time, it couldn't be more distant. It's like life and dream. So that to kind of create a character out of a sort of alternate ego takes a huge amount of mental journey work. So it's all that stray moments, drifting around, observing, thinking, and you're just each time just moving like a little bit, a little bit, a little bit nearer to the point where you can write it. I like to write quite fast and quite intense when I go about it, and that it will be from the inside, that it will feel real to me.
So you're 10 years of thought and then you're Kerouac sellotaping A4 sheets together.
Not quite Kerouac either. Maybe like 2-3 years, not 4 days. I think he did that. But certainly just writing in bursts, not necessarily all together, but in bursts. I, you know, just feeling something and getting a scene, getting a moment, and just wanting every bit of it to feel real, to feel like it's alive, to feel like it's a report from experience.
Now, for a lot of authors, you would be in a position where you could say, well, the critics, it doesn't matter to me. I don't care what they say. But given that you dedicated so much of your life to English analysis and assessment and breakdown, do you sort of sit with bated breath to see what others say about your works?
Yes, because I'm human and humble. But at the same time, you have to be extremely stubborn to continue with this line of work. So yes, I do read reviews. I am very much interested in what people have to say, but I would work anyway and I would continue writing what I want to write anyway.
So what was your reaction to Graham Norton deciding you were the best thing since sliced bread?
Well, I think that was in Modern Times, a shock and surprise and delight, naturally.
How did you find out about it? Because that has to be a boost for sales. It's one of those things where you get that on the dust cover. It does no harm.
Somebody sent me a photograph of the tweet because I'm not on social media. These things are delightful. But for me, my moment where it's all worth it is when I'm absolutely obsessed with the project and I'm, you know, still in my pajamas at 3 o'clock and I'm working away, because that state to me is very pleasurable. Now, it's not all about that, but I write because I have an intense need to now. So especially with Breakdown, because it's an extremely intense novel, A woman like sets out one day, she thinks she's just going to get her hair done, have a cup of coffee and everything will be all right. And she never comes back to this seeming idyllic life. That took a lot of emotional as well as like mental work to feel my way into that level of reckoning.
Well, as I say, the response to it has been extremely impressive. It is the first full novel by Cathy Sweeney. Cathy, of course, having published short stories, including Modern Times, for many years before that. Cathy, thank you very much for coming.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.